Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. And I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to study the Word of God on tonight. I want to call our worship, our Bible class to order now. We'll have a hymn, our song, a scripture, and a prayer. Amen. Here's the song.
Oh.
Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 119, verses 17-24. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it have unto thy judgment at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also do sit and speak against me. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I have just read you from Psalms 119, from 17 down through the 24th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come this evening humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come, Father, if we've offended anyone, if we've hurt anyone, if we've caused anyone to stumble, Lord, we ask your forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you right now to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything there that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you right now to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight, Lord. Father, we just come rejoicing, just thanking and praising you, just magnifying your holy name tonight, just looking, Lord, searching, Lord, while you may be found, calling upon your name, Father, while you're near tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come now asking you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight, Lord. I ask you to cover them right now in the shed blood of Jesus now, and encamp your angels all around about them tonight, in the name of Jesus. We come asking you, Holy Ghost, to take over our Bible class on tonight. We ask you tonight to be in control and take over, Lord. Let me decrease 100%, Father, that you may increase 100%, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask you tonight, Lord, to shift this atmosphere in an ecoliasano and shift the atmosphere in the name of Jesus, Lord. I'm giving up. I surrender it in the name of Jesus, Lord. I'm asking you now to cover our minds and our thoughts so we can understand your word, Father, that whatever you're trying to get through to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you tonight. We praise you tonight. We'll be careful, Father, to give you all the praise. We'll be careful to give you all the honor. We'll be careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. And for your glory, amen. Thank God. Good evening and amen and good evening, everybody. I just give glory to God, honor and glory to God who is my life and to everyone in their respective places. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to study the Word of God on this evening. We're going to be talking about discussing this evening apostolic impartation and prophetic impartation. We're going to talk a little bit about that this evening, and I'm going to kind of stay on the impartation for just a few. We're talking about prophetic exhortation and impartation. The Lord had really impressed on me to relate to you in the dimensions of impartation, tivation, of gifts, callings, purposes, and destiny. As every car or automobile needs to be filled, put gas in, have a tune-up, or have an oil change, a tire change, so does every saint or believer need encouragement in the ignition of the fires of God and the releasing of the rivers of God for a bold new destiny. We need that. We need to be restored, refreshed, refueled. That's what we need. So God has impressed on me to kind of teach on or minister the apostolic and prophetic impartation and activation. According to Psalms chapter 18, verse 28, and it says, "For you will light my candle. The Lord will enlighten my darkness." In Psalms 46:4, it says, "There is a river that streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High." And in Psalms 65:9, it confirms and it says, "Thou visit the earth and water it. Thou greatly enriched it with the river of God." Now, it is well established that all of the believers are called into the ministry to some degree and some sphere of grace, atmosphere of grace. We're all called into the ministry to a certain degree. We all have ministries. Everybody have a ministry to some degree. And so many people don't understand what their calling is, what their purpose is, or what their destiny is. But if we study God's word, if we pray, if we fast, if we do and ask God, you can just talk to the Holy Ghost, the Comforter that Jesus left for us. He will tell you your purpose. He will show you your gifts. He will show you your calling, your purpose for life. He'll show you. We need to list some important principles with scriptures to stir up the gift and quicken the spirit and confirm our destiny. We need to impart and activate these gifts and purposes that God has given us. the very substance of God in you for a bowel release. For a bowel release. And it releases into the unlimited glory of God. Unto your destiny. God, the Holy Spirit, imparts in us, activates the very substance of God. He tells us exactly what God wants. And we need to do more meditation. That's another teaching and another training to meditate in God, on God and in Him, in His Word. We have to learn how to meditate on the Word of God and on God. When we go in our prayer closet, our prayer room, or whatever, in the bathroom, wherever we pray at, we ain't no use of running in there. Oh, let it be showing up. Now that all this, you need to go in there and be still in your spirit. Be still in your spirit mind. And let the Spirit minister to you as well. Then you talk to God. Sometimes I meditate up to an hour before I say one word. I just sit there and let that anointing saturate me. Whatever God want to impart in me, that's the time. Whatever He wants to download in me through my meditation, that is the time. But some of us have an apostolic calling, a prophetic calling on our lives. And we don't understand the gifts and the callings and the purposes and the destiny that God has for us. When you have a gift, gift comes without repentance, but if you want the approval of God on your life, you are yield to God. And I'm not talking about starting the fence. I'm talking about totally yielding. Some of us feel like if we give in totally to God, it'll change our life, and it will change our life, but for the better. But what I'm saying is that we'll feel like we can't do some of the things we like to do, but you can. You can. Everybody can still do the things that they enjoy doing. Everybody can still go to the places that you've been going as long as God can go with you. But the most important thing is to focus on what God has for you and your destiny and your purpose and your calling. In your gifting, because we're here for God's pleasure on this earth. We're here for God. It's all about Him. It's all about, I don't care what nobody say. It's all about God. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. If we are faithful to God, He'll be faithful to us. He's not going to keep letting you do and do and do. But if you're faithful to Him, He's going to be faithful to you, and then He's going to impart whatever it is that He needs to build you up. Oh, we all have to go through. We all go through. We all have to be put on the potter's wheel. We all have to go through so it can build up our most holy faith. We all go through. We have to be built up. Our faith has to be built up. We want to be a prophet. We want to be an apostle. We want to be a bishop. We want to be all these things. Those things don't come free. They're not free. They come with a price. The titles come with a price. Even if you just want to be a believer, it still comes with a price. Because God got to shape you. He got to put you on that wheel. He got to mold you just what he wants you to be, just what he wants you to do, just your calling, your gift, and your purpose, your destiny. The apostolic and the prophetic is a place of glory, none other than the third dimension of our maturity, the fullness of Christ manifesting in us. This place right here, the impartation of the apostolic and the prophetic, is the third dimension of maturity. So you got to be matured in Christ to get right here. You have to be matured in Christ to be right here. If you're not matured in Christ, ain't no need of sitting under the impartation of the apostolic and the activation of the apostolic and the prophetic and the activation of it. Because this teaching, just not tonight, because it's a lot to this. It's not just tonight. This is an impartation and an activation. Once it's all imparted in you, then we're going to activate this thing. We're going to get refueled. We're going to get refreshed. We're going to get refilled up. That's what this is for. That's what it's for. It is a living and breathing reality of Jesus, the more excellent ministry, and the holy of holies. This realm and dimension is the consummation of the believers crossing over Jordan to the promised land. Mortal putting on immortality, the Ark of the Covenant overlaid with gold in the third dimension of our maturity. Yes, it is the cry of the Spirit, for the Spirit and the bride says, come. I don't know if everybody on here to understand this, and maybe you know, and I'm going to say this, if you do not understand, please say so. Ask questions. If you don't understand, you ask questions, because it's important. Right now you're learning and you're getting it. God is going to impart some things into you, apostolically and prophetically. The man within the man, the ministry within the ministry, the nation within the nation, the wheel within the middle of the wheel, Ezekiel. With I being is the prophet, priest, really the first and the king, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, it is Christ in us, in you. In Colossians chapter 1:27, the hope, the patience, the earnest expectation of glory. It is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The blessed hope of being all that he is within. He appears. Let me read this. I want you all to understand 1 John 3. I'm going too fast. And I don't want to move too fast on it. I was trying to push it because we got a lot to go over. And, you know, I'm not going to push it because this is very important. This impartation of apostolic and the prophetic is very, very, very important. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world don't know nothing about believers. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that have this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So when you have this hope in Christ, you're purifying yourself. You purify yourself when you believe in Christ. When you have a hope in him, you will purify yourself because he is pure. When you in Christ, when you believe in Christ, when you are when he in you and you in him, you're purified. You're purified. You purify yourself. Romans 8 and 19. Let me get it here and read it, because I do want to make sure you understand what we're talking about here. 8 and 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. A statement of the believer's hope as it affects the individual and the entire creation. See, we have it's an earnest expectation to hope in Christ, to expect Christ to do what he says he's going to do. To be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now I'm reading. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When this glory is revealed, the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because, hey, it's going to manifest. The glory will manifest. It's going to manifest. If it's in us, if we believe in Christ, Christ is in us. And when we hope in him, it purifies him, us. It purifies us. And the glory of God is in us. It's going to shine. Hallelujah. The light is going to shine. Whatever God imparts in us, we're going to know it. I already know it. Some of you might know it, but I already been in prophetically been through the impartation and been through the activation already before I became an apostle. But this is a long process right here. Because it took me a long time, to know what the impartation of the and the activation of the apostolic and prophetic realm is. You have to really be prayerful, staying on focus, listening. When I'm teaching, you need to be listening for what God is telling you. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you need to say, repeat that, or what is this, what is that? When you don't ask questions, then I'm saying, well, they must know. They must already know. Because the way I got it written, I'm going through it fast, and the Lord just told me to slow down. That's why I opened my Bible and started reading. Because I want you to understand. Okay, we went through Romans 8 and 19. We have principles of Christ in us. We have how Christ is, how we accept Christ, and we expect him to be in us. We know he's supposed to be there. The Holy Spirit, Christ, lives down on the inside of us. We have to have the love of Christ. We have to have his Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, that lives down on the inside of us. We have to have that. The only way I can love my enemies. Now you talking about something. The only way you're going to love your enemies, somebody that did you wrong, talk about you, beat you up, shout at you, cuss you, whatever they did to you. I can't love them with Deborah's love. Because the kind of love I got for them won't work. But I have to love them with the love of Christ. How else can you love your enemy? How else can you pray for your enemy? How can you do it? Well, you know they hate you, but you still love them. You know it has to be the Spirit of God down on the inside of us to be able to love our enemies. We can't do it and say turn the other cheek. A lot of us don't, but that's what the Word of God says. How can we do that if we don't have God, the Holy Spirit, down on the inside of us? We keep our mouth closed when things, when other, you know, people arguing and fighting and cousins fussing. We have to keep our mouth closed. Pray. You can't do that if you don't have God, the Holy Spirit, down on the inside. If we can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we can release the presence of the Holy Spirit. If we can receive faith, we can release faith. If we can receive the kingdom, then we can release the kingdom. And if we can receive Christ, we can release him to others. We can minister up to others. We can encourage others. Belly temple, the throne, within our being lies the potent or the potential of God. The untapped potential or the latent and unrealized expectation of the Spirit. For according to Psalms 42 and 7 says, deep calls unto the deep. And there is a hidden deep about to erupt from the inside out, which is the emerging of what you have been purposed and destined to be. It is the emergence, or the emerging of Jacob to Israel, Abram to Abraham, Sarah to Sarah. It is the birth of nations within the womb of Rebecca, the so-called struggle within it. No, it's not mere frustration. It is not having an uncomfortable physical moment after last night's heavy meal. Rather, it is the cocoon yielding forth the manifestation of the butterfly. The change of one form into another, for we shall be changed and are being changed, progressive. So it's a deep call unto the deep. And there is a hidden depth, I'm trying to say, I hope y'all understand, D-E-P-T-H, depth, about to erupt from the inside out, which is emerging of what you have been purposed and destined to be. So what is deep down in you is about to come out of you. It's about to erupt from the inside out, which is emerging of what you have been purposed and destined to be. It is the emergence, or the emergence of Jacob, or transformation from Jacob to Israel, from the transformation from Abram to Abraham, and the transformation from Sarai to Sarah. It is the birth of nations within the womb of Rebecca, the so-called struggle within. See, you have to know. See, you have to know your word in order to understand it. Because Rebecca had those twins, and they come out fighting. They come out holding on each other, struggling. It was a struggle within her womb. It's not just mere frustration. It's not having an uncomfortable physical moment from last night's heavy meal. It's like a cocoon yielding forth the manifestation of the butterfly. You know what a cocoon is? It turns into it's really a caterpillar. And it turns into a cocoon, and it yields up a butterfly. The metaphor of the change of one form into another. For we shall be changed, and we are being changed quickly, progressively, advancedly. We're being changed. Now, when you walk in condemnation, it is ill will and past judgment. No life flows out of it. None. And you no life flows out of it. Within such in that condemnation, no life flows out of it. For condemnation is doom, and it's like a dam that is shut out from the flowing of waters. That's condemnation. You know how a dam is. It's just like something stopped the flow of water. Condemnation only minister death. Only. It only minister death. But the new man in Christ can only minister his endless life. Life eternal. Life eternal. Forgive me, you know, my computer shut all the way down. Now, right now, release yourself from condemnation and the past, and begin to reaffirm the Christ that you are in his workmanship, recreated in him. Recognize the source of life, living, moving, having our being in him. We need to release ourselves from condemnation and the past. whatever it was in the past, release yourself from it and begin to affirm the Christ, that you are his workmanship, that you are his handiwork. We need to be recreated in Christ. We have to recognize the source of life, living, moving, and having our being in Christ, in him. We have to see ourselves the way Christ does, in him, who is the head of all principalities and all powers. Confess your present position in Christ, that you are seated, that you are seated far above all principalities and power. See him as he is. You have to. We confess our present position in Christ. And we know where we are in Christ. We know just where we are with him. We see the way above all principalities and powers. See him as he is. We have to see ourselves as Christ does. This is why a lot of times I meditate and I just think about things that can bring me closer to Christ, things that I can do to please Christ. See, we're here for his pleasure. Now, I'm just ministering right now. We're here for God's pleasure. We're here for him. And whatever we have to do in this me talk, whatever I have to do to impress him, whatever I have to do to please him, I want God to show me. I ask him all day long, what is it that I can do more for you? What can I do? How can I do it? If it's to pray 10 hours a day, Lord, don't let me feel tired. Don't let my throat hurt. Don't let this happen, because I'm going to try to do whatever it is that you want me to do. I know we all have a life. I know we have a life, but it's not about us. It is not about us. It's about God. It's about God. It is not about us. So when we confess who we are in Christ, we got to believe it and we got to live it. We can't go minister to people 1 week and next week we doing what they do. We got to live a holy life. And when I say holy, I mean holy. I ain't talking about dresses down to your ankles and all that. Yeah, I wear them, but it's okay. I know what I'm doing. You're not going to find too many young people wearing them. But what I'm saying, holy unto God, this means to reverence him, to put him ahead of your life, to put him over your life, to put him as your life, over everything you own, because the Holy Ghost is in you. Live down inside of you. You're the temple. You have to be clean, and that thing goes from the inside out. It goes from the inside out. So we need to release ourselves from condemnation. Just release yourself. Just release yourself. Recognize your living, moving, and having your being in Christ. And try to see yourself the way Christ look it up. Because if we in sin, it's like a bad odor to him. Sin is. It stinks to his nostrils. That's what it is. When we go out and do what we shouldn't do, if we lie and if we whatever we do, it's like stink to his nostrils. But if we can see ourselves, that's why I tell people, don't come trying to do something and trying to do this for a wrong reason. Seeing God don't know what you're doing, your motives, it won't work. I done been through this stuff year after year after year, people, with wrong motives, with wrong things, trying to do stuff for the wrong motives. But God, when I tell you they think they've been and got away, but God, you might get by, but you will not get away. Because God deals with us through our heart. Man look at the outer part, but God judges the heart. He see our heart. He see the motive. Whatever it is, God see it. You might can fool me, but you can't fool God. So when we go out and we say things and we hide stuff, God see it. God know it. He knows it. So when we come to him, we have to come naked. And that's just a figure of speech. But we have to just be transparent, because he already know everything. He already can see everything. So you got to come to God. You can't come to him any kind of way. You cannot. So we're talking about, we want to go on and talk about the prophetic dimension. And we're talking about the Naba, the Nabia. It's a Hebrew word describing the prophetic dimension within the believer. The Naba, or the Naba, is to prophesy. It's to speak forth or seen by inspiration. See, people don't know you can sing prophetically. God can use what you do. You know, a lot of people think, oh, Apostle Shaw can't sing. She sounds like a man, everything. I don't even care what people think, because I can sing, really sing. And I ain't talking about I sing however I feel like it when I sing, what makes me comfortable. But I can sing. Don't think I can't. But only with the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost get down in it, I can sing. I always could. But I'm singing to God and not to man. I'm singing to him. And I sing in tongue, in everything, to God. Not to man, but to God. Because I'm trying to do it unto him. I'm seeking God in every area that I can. I'm trying to seek him every way that I can, as much as I can. This is how you have to do to get serious with God. You can't play with him. You can't be on one day and off the next day. You can't, because it'll hurt you way more than it'll help you. He said, if you lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That means if you plan, if you this way one day, this way the other, I see people on that Facebook. They be talking about God one day, the next week, they be talking about the club. You can't do them like that. It is the end of time, and he's not taking any excuses anymore. He'll take his hands off of you, and demons will come from everywhere you. When I tell you, if God take his hand off of you, demons are going to attack you from every angle. And there is nothing you can do. And then, if he let his wrath loose on you, Honey, I'll never ever want to get whooped by God again because I've been whooped by him sometimes. And it can't no, my mama and daddy could never whoop me like he can. So we have to get our lives straightened out so we can do and be pleasing to God. So we can have the blessings of God. He already promised us to him, to us, but we won't get them until we get our life right. We got to be in his will. And ain't nobody perfect. I'm definitely not perfect. Not me. But we striving the best that we can to do the things that we can for God. That's what we do. We trying our best to be as perfect as we can. So God, the things that you can do to help you do the things that God that you know is right, then we should do them. Because the devil's so tricky. He'll trick you in the lie so quick. You don't think you lied then so quick because it happened so quick you don't even repent because it happened so quick. It didn't happen to me too many times. Jehovah's Witness come to the door. Oh, he's not here. Be right in here. Or be a collector call. She ain't here. And you talking to him. Just quick. Then you think about it a couple of hours later. Man. I lied to them. Lord, I'm sorry. The next time they call, you do the same thing. You can't do that. God will forgive you, but you got to turn away from what you're doing wrong in order to get your impartation and your activation. This stuff got to be straightened out in your life. It's got to be. You can't keep doing the same stuff. You can't keep doing it. Mm-mm. It is the Spirit of God quickening us to prophesy eternal purposes of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. In Amos 3:8 says, the lion has roared. Who shall fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? He quickens us. Bible. He gets this and read it. Amos chapter 3, verse 8. Second, let me find Amos. Okay, I'm going to restart at 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant, the prophet. The lion have roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God have spoken. Who can but prophesy? See, the meaning is this. Since God has already spoken of judgment to come, what can we or Amos do, or prophet do, as he's talking to Amos, but prophesy concerning it? When God has already spoken and told us things, and it come to pass, even if it's not, we know it's coming to pass. All we can do is prophesy. All we can do is say what he say. Don't add our stuff to it, but we have to say what God say, do, and we have to do. It's so many times that we add on to the prophecy. We prophesy in part. We hear that stuff in part. Like I say, sometimes God give me one word, and that's all you're going to get is one word. Last night when he was ministering last night, he said Patton. I knew what he was talking about, but that's what I gave you, Patton. But I knew the meaning of Patton. And that's a lot of times what you have to do. When you hear one word, if you don't know what it means, look it up. It'll tell you what he's talking about. But don't you go adding unto it, make sure you know what he's talking about, though. And I know a whole lot of us know that, but a whole lot of us don't. As a child responds to the voice of their mother or father or their dad, so do we in like manner respond to the voice of the Lord within us, because that voice is within us, within our midst. It's within us. As the Lord speaks, we respond accordingly. It is no fear. It is no frustration. It is no confusion at all. For Abba is speaking, and it is normal to respond to his voice as we would as a child responding to his daddy or his mother or his parents. As the Lord speak in your midst, let him speak through you. For you are becoming his voice in the earth, an express vehicle or instrument of his purpose. So he is using us as a vehicle to minister to the people of God, whatever he says. We got to do it. We got to speak accordingly. We got to respond according to what we hear in our ear. And the more you pray and the more you stay on your face, the more you fast, the more you study, the more you're going to hear God and hear him clearly. I hear him clearly. I hear him clearly. Daily, I hear God clearly. And believe me, ain't nobody apart from Christ. Don't ever think I am. I am nobody apart from Christ. None but some dust. But God made us. God created us in his own image and his own likeness. So apart from him, ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. And I ain't trying to be nobody. I ain't trying to be something that I'm not. I ain't trying to be like this person where I need a vitamin and all these pullings. I'm just trying to be more. If I was going to be like somebody, I would be trying to be like Jesus. I know I don't speak good. I don't have I'm country and I've been talked and called and everything. You think I care? I care about what God think about me. I don't care what people think about me. They say they're going to talk if you do, and they're going to talk if you don't. But my whole thing is to please God, my whole desire. That's what I want to do. I want to please him in every way I can, whether it's country, whether I'm not speaking good English. Mm-mm, I really don't care. But I know what I do care about. I love God with all of my heart and all of my soul, with every fiber of my body, of my being, I love God with. And I thank him on today. I'm not going to hold you any longer. I really hope that you all enjoyed this, and it will continue next week. And because we only have in Bible class on one day, it's going to be a while because I got a lot to this apostolic and prophetic impartation and activation. So, and I hope you all hang in there with me. I thank and praise God for it because it was used on me. And I thank and praise God for imparting stuff and imparting the things that he did in me. I thank God for it. So We're going to get ready to close our Father. We just thank you for the ones in Radio Land and for those on our radio broadcast this evening, Lord. We just thank you tonight. We thank you for the ones that didn't come on tonight. Lord, I pray for their safety. Father, I ask you to cover everyone up under the sound of my voice on tonight, Lord. I just give you praise. I give you glory. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. We'll see you back on Sunday at 3 o'clock Central and 4 o'clock Eastern time. God bless you. I love you, and God love you too. Have a good night. Amen.